Welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters, day
82. I was just thinking.
Careful. Mind the moth.
Yeah, right. Joke over. No, if only we could get iPad in sync like we get 82 and Marooned.
More practice, yes. Which will set Jonathan off.
Yes.
End of our 2-week laughable holiday, and we still haven't got a MacBytes.
Was it a laughable holiday?
Actually, it's been a bit peaceful, hasn't it? I'm waiting for the other foot to fall now. CQ, Deb. Hello, Jonathan. Hello, Kim. Oh, Costco delivery on the way. I spent most of the afternoon tracking an Amazon order, you know, Mike.
Yeah, and then I picked it up.
It was a farce, that, though. Nina lives about half a mile up the road. And I had sent her something on the basis that I've got Prime and she hasn't. So rather than her pay delivery, I pay for the toy. So I put the toy on my Prime and then she pays me. So her toy got a message, be with you in 3 stops. Looks at mine, nothing. Still on the way. About 20 minutes later, hers said, we've got a few deliveries to make first. Mine, no news. Eventually, it all arrived. But not before I had sat nursing it for more time than was actually strictly necessary. Oh, halfway through the first episode and halfway through the second. You're a brave boy, Jonathan. How text changed. How have we changed?
Welcome to MacBytes, episode 1.
No,
with
no, I think
three
said...
Mac geeks from the northwest of England. And now we're 2.
We were petrified. That's what the problem was. I was in the studio. You were in the office. Mikey B was in Warrington. And we were like, should we do it then? Yeah, let's do it then. We had 9 files kicking around, do you remember?
Yeah.
It was all done in pieces, and then I had to assemble it.
Well, Johnny loved it.
Oh, Jonathan, you are a brave boy. I don't think I've actually heard the whole of episode 1 for a while. I did do an intro for it, though. I did do a contextual intro. Now, where on earth will you find that? Where did I put that? You sounded so young. No, we sounded so petrified. How old were we then, Mike? Late 30s.
Yeah.
Mere children, clearly. Mere children. I actually quoted Steve Jobs today to somebody. And she's thrilled. Parish secretary gets on to me. She's obviously bored, rigid. And has sorted out her wardrobe and decided that all she actually needs is like the same outfit every day. And then everything will match. So I sent her this piece from... Oh, was it the Telegraph?
I don't know where it was from.
It was from some... I'll find it. I'll find the link because I must have copied it. So if I type Steve Jobs in my clipboard history, there we go. All I need is somewhere to put it and I will find the link. So I sent her this link about Steve Jobs always wearing the same attire for work. And she'd never heard of it. There you go. Thrive Global. There we go. There was the link that I sent her. And you know, I've got to agree with that. A lot of people do that. I have black T-shirts, like golf shirts, and I tend to wear those for work. So I actually do like black from head to toe. Young. No, we were just petrified. We did warm up a bit. I think I knew, like who we were, around episode 24. When we did the intro. The 24 intro. And at that stage, I knew who we were because anything went. It was like, oh, I know what we can do. And before we'd be like, no, we can't do that. And episode 24 was like, I know what we can do. Let's just do it. And that's when everything changed. But yeah, Parish Secretary is thrilled with that article. So she can now... wear the same thing all the time.
Is she bored out of her mind?
Yes, absolutely.
Sounds like my mother.
She's moving on to tidy up drawers next.
Who,
like,
my mother?
No, Boris Secretary.
So is my mother.
But I'm thinking, like, oh, your mother's flat is pristine. I mean, they moved in 20 years ago, didn't they, from a huge house. And they must have had to have downsized some stuff.
Yeah. Well, they've got a massive loft, but
there's
yeah.
no. Well, she's not climbing up there, is she?
No.
There's no storage. So when she says she's cleaning something out, what? It's pristine to start with.
I don't know.
With.
She's bored, and we have the same conversation every morning.
Oh, bless her. I heard she was playing with Word today, which was even more frightening.
She was playing with Word.
There you go. Step away from Word. Some pictures of the walk.
There we go.
Yay! So you made it there and back. I'm impressed. Weather didn't a bit windy today, I would have thought. Smidgen on the windy side. Let's have a look. Oh, now that does actually look beautiful. I'm liking the look of that. Bleak! Bleak! But at least it wasn't raining by the look of it.
There's some nice pictures, Johnny.
Did rain here, though. Ooh, that one looks like that big wide thing there. That looks like that bit I showed you, Mike.
Yeah.
With the lake on the right and the open space on the left. I've got a perfect excuse for not doing that, you know.
Have you?
Yep.
What's that?
Built-in excuse. Had it all my life. You can't be a woman on your own and go up there like that. No way. Not even with a dog. We'll have to read all of that later. 13,000 people tried to visit over the weekend. Oh! Pictures are fabulous, though.
Sounds like you had a good time, Johnny. Hardly passing anybody. Your idea of heaven.
You know people?
Yeah.
I love Mac biters. But not normal people.
Did you
people.
Take your butties, Johnny?
Not saying the MacBiters aren't normal people. You're better than normal people. But average people. Do you know who I can't abide? The people who are in the queue for McDonald's.
Yeah.
Those are the ones I can't abide.
And did you take enough water?
Well, there's plenty there if you didn't. Is that reservoir looking a little bit low to me?
We'll have a hose pipe ban next.
Well, they've already said that. Yeah, can you preserve the water? Yeah, because they're like, this is Manchester and it's not rained for 5 whole minutes. One little sandwich. Less than 2 hours, you must have been going at a heck of a pace. Oh, my. It does look a bit low. In fact, that building...
Kim says I left you a message. I don't know who that refers to.
Who's that for, Kim?
Was that in Slack?
That building that you can see in the distance with the steps going down to the water was on the right when I went on the Google Map thing. And the water looked beautiful and blue, and that looks a lot lower, which is making it look darker. Mind you, given that the one I looked at, it was at the top of the wall. Anyway, I'm enjoying the photographs, Mike. I don't feel...
Oh, she's left Johnny a message on his website.
I don't feel that... Oh, please keep your dog on a short lead, see? To prevent the disturbance to wild birds. Yes, because as far as Lola's concerned, chickens are to eat. Oh my, does look nice though, but that is very low. I'm beginning to see where their problem is, but it must have, you know, put the plug back in because it has been raining, and normally when we've got 5 minutes rain we get flooding, so I don't know why that's as low as it is. It certainly wasn't low on the Google Map thing, but Jonathan's pictures are far better. Oh, I'm liking that. Yeah, you've got some cracking pictures there, Jonathan. And I'm just glad not to be walking it. Let's have a look at that one. Didn't make it to the website. I wonder why it didn't make it to the website.
Probably,
I'm about to find
it's
out.
Probably a
aren't
selfie.
It's had to download that one because it's a HEIC.
Oh, they annoy me, actually. Is it a selfie?
It is.
Oh, it is a selfie.
Looking good, Jonathan. Look at the colour of that water. It's grey and dark. But you're looking good, so you can't say fairer than that.
Admiral. You know what that reminds me of?
1970s.
Yes.
Leeds. Cup final.
And United. We had...
We did have Admiral. Yeah,
we
late
were
70s.
Not sponsored by Admiral.
That does look really dark and dour, and some of the others have got beautiful skies. Was that on your way at the beginning or at the end, Jonathan? We need to know these things. Right, it's flicked over now to my downloads, which means I can't see that. Now I'm back. I can read it. Costco's there. You were rather damp. Ah, but it probably made the warm shower when you got back home. And did you manage a nap? And that was at the end. 20 minutes before you got to the car. Hope you had towels in the car. Just saying.
He's got his Mac on his raincoat.
You see, I know, but then his seats would get wet.
I got wet this morning.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter because you weren't getting in the car, were you?
True.
And Lola doesn't mind. She doesn't like being dried or washed. But she doesn't mind going out if it's raining, does she? Mayor always used to look at you as though it was your fault it was raining. Madam's just left her first treat because she wanted the second one, which was bigger than the first. Then when she had the first, she came back in. When she had the second, she came back in. She looked at the treat on the floor and just looked at the pair of us. So Mike's like, oh, do you not want it? I said, no, she wants you to pick it up and give it to her. When he did, she ate it. What a princess.
Yes.
Hot bath with Redox salt and a nap. This is not looking good for me tonight. Unless I did, my last demo, you might find useful, actually, Jonathan. It's about video, but sort of not video. Video, but not video.
What's the score?
5-4 to Jonathan, that.
No, I didn't. I can't remember.
Are you asking me to wind me up?
No, I couldn't remember.
Everybody knows the score. So this...
We've heard it all before.
Mm. This video, but not quite video, sort of video piece. I was thinking of doing it over 2 weeks. But if I did the whole lot, Jonathan would be bound to be asleep. It'd be about 4 in the morning. We'll see how that goes. You're not confident for tonight, Jonathan. Mm. I clearly had more confidence in you than you had in you. Just saying. It's been one of those days here, hasn't it? You know, when you're trying to get on.
Mm.
There's an interesting thing on the news. I don't know if you've been following along with this plot. But there's a TV presenter in this country called Kate Garraway.
And yeah, I've been following
that. Yeah, her husband has had coronavirus. She gives an update every Friday. And she's given an update today. And she said, it's a miracle her husband's still alive. He's been in a coma for 10 weeks. I mean, can you imagine being at home, not being able to see him or anything, just waiting for that call for 10 weeks?
Donno's missus was like.
Well, yeah, but he was, what, 3-4 weeks? But 10 weeks, you've got to question whether there's any way back at the 10-week mark, surely. She said it's felt more like 10 years, but she's grateful he's still here. He's free of the virus, but he's in a critical condition. So the fight with the virus has been won. It's wreaked extraordinary damage to his body, and we don't know if he can recover from that. That's just terrifying. He's not even that old. Wasn't he a cameraman or something?
It was something.
She met him at work.
Yeah.
10 weeks is just unbelievable. Right, let's have a look. It's a 4-hour match every Friday. This is true. This is true. Well, kickoff will be at 9. Oh, Mike's got the fixture list for the Premier League. He's not a happy boy, are you?
Aren't I?
No. Because they've got the temerity to put United on at 6 o'clock, 2 days. And he's got work at 6 o'clock those 2 days, or 7 o'clock, something like that. Which means you'll miss the second half.
Yeah,
basically.
One clashes with after hours.
And one clashes with after hours. So of the 3 matches that were left, that was not good. Well, watch it during after hours. You can come in and give us updates. You remember like Tom Tyrrell used to do? We'll just go over to Tom at Old Trafford. Well, we'll just go over to you and you can give us an update on how the game's going. See you soon, Kim. Hello, Anthony. How are you doing? Ooh, who's seen the pictures today of Simon's Hackintosh? Liking the look of that. This was the case we were talking about last night that Mike missed, didn't you?
Yeah.
Mmm. Go and have a look at it, this picture. It's fabulous. Scan, sell them. They're about £100 to £150. But we could build a broadcast PC with one of those.
And Slack.
Oh, when Jonathan was on a walk, had a suggestion for a topic and can't now remember what it was. You know the answer to that, Jonathan. Have you got time to nick back up there? Quick hour around the place might come back to you.
This thing here.
That's it. That's the glass side panel.
Ah.
The case, the name of it's at the top. The case is black on the outside but white on the inside, but the scans is either all white or all black. But we were talking about the cheese grater Mac, and I think that case is probably the closest you'd get to it in terms of scale. Happy pizza day. Oh, have you done pizza, Simon? We're talking about your Mac. Looks fabulous. Right, so have you remembered Jonathan? Has he remembered? Every Friday. Oh, we had fish. We were good Catholics today, weren't we, and had fish.
We were.
Which is exactly what Mike thought when he got the fish out. No, Catholics do not eat fish alone on a Friday. What did I have at lunch? Oh, no, actually, I've been good today. I've not had any meat today, have I? We limit that now, unless you're ultra-Orthodox. We limit that to Good Friday. And it's a pain in the backside on Good Friday, isn't it?
Photo management.
In the absence of Affinity, having a photo management app, having things in iPhoto and editing them in Affinity and then multiple files, etc., for me is a mess. That's true. That's very true. They are supposed to be working on that, but they're also supposed to be working on Affinity Publisher for iPad. Now, I've got some stuff tonight. That's the one, Mike. Scan. I've been working on something today and they've got a release date for a product and it doesn't match with the other version of this product. But I think I know why, and I think it's all to do with WWDC, which is 3 weeks late. You like the idea of having things in Google, but you can't store the Affinity photo files and see them in the cloud. No, you can't. Don't think you would be able to do that without Affinity supporting that. I will admit, the Google photo thing that I've tried, and I only really didn't know the Queen was a system builder. I think she has people for that, Simon. And of course, you can buy built from there, so maybe it was that. I tried Google Photos kind of inadvertently because I had an Android tablet and it was automatically configured to send the images up to Google Photos. It is actually very, very, very good. When I got my iPhone last year, the one in September that you got, we went out that night, if you remember, because he got here really late. And we went out and we used our phones to take some photos. And it does the live photo thing. And I uploaded them to Google pretty much because I was going to rebuild the phone. So I thought, well, I'll put a copy in here and a copy over there and I'll download them as well. But I'll also put them up into Google. And Google ran this algorithm against them and said, made some suggestions as to, like, not particularly improvements it could make to the photos, although there were some of those, but kind of quirky things that they could do. So they took one of Lola and really, really made it like ultra bright and it looked amazing. So I thought that's cool. But they also turned some of these live photos into video clip type photos. And there's one of Mike dancing, you know, with Andy Monk.
Yeah.
Mike was dancing in one with a glass of wine in his hand. There was a lady involved in that, as I recall. And there was this other picture where him and Andy were air guitaring. And it made them into like little movies. And it did a great job. So that's where I would tend to send them. But I haven't actually, I'm in the process. So it's a good idea, Jonathan, because I'm in the process of thinking exactly that myself. Height efficiency.
Hi.
That's a new one.
Hi. I forgot what the IC stands for.
Image capture. Yeah. High efficiency image capture. It's basically a JPEG that's compressed without a loss of quality. And they changed the extension to a HEIC, which to view it, you need to download it and then open it in something that supports it, which on a Mac would be Preview or iPhoto. They did add support for that to Affinity Photo. So you could actually see it. It's a lovely headshot of the lovely Jonathan. And it looks rather good.
It's like HEIV, whatever it is.
The video capture.
Video capture.
Which is also a pain in the backside as well.
Well, it was that year at Munich.
Tell me about it. You got a different file format if you copied it off the device rather than airdropped it. But obviously, you know, you're trying to copy it off with a cable, which gives you an unreadable file. So we had great fun with that. So Jonathan says he'd probably end up keeping them on iPhoto anyway. As a family, we share them all via iPhoto. It works well. However, it does stop us moving anywhere outside of Apple. That's the problem. I've never really gone with that because I had huge issues with a Mac in the studio. This Mac was the replacement Mac for the one that went back for repair and came back more damaged than when it went. And when it came back, they couldn't purchase it. What they were doing was they were replacing it completely. But they couldn't get an equal hard drive. So they decided they'd put an SSD in it. But the SSD is only 256. And I thought, well, it doesn't matter. I'll just hang something off the back. And I put it in the studio. And everything with it is absolutely fine. Apart from the fact that this SSD was just filling up and filling up and filling up. And it made no sense. Because anything we recorded went onto one of the external drives. It made zero sense. Started looking into it, and it was all to do with every photo I took on my phone was being downloaded to this device, despite the fact download photos was turned off. And it was a case of, I thought, well, I looked into it a bit, and basically it was you can delete it. So I deleted them all. And it then promptly downloaded them all. And we're talking there was about 60 gig, something like that. So it was really eating into the storage that I had left. I finally went and had a proper look at it with, you know, determined with my chisel and my hammer to fix the thing once and for all. And it was Jane's suggestion of looking at photos, which we did in the 3 Foot Toblerone episode, that got me to fix it totally. But basically what I had to do was log out of iCloud completely, which played havoc with data files and all kinds of stuff. Once I got it logged back in, the settings were identical. And I then had to wait 48 hours to see if it downloaded all these files again. And it didn't. But the settings hadn't changed. All I'd done was log back out, log out. I deleted them. Logged out. No, or did I log out? I think I deleted them, then logged out, then logged back in again. It was ridiculous that it fixed it. But it left me thinking, you know, that could happen to you when you're on the road or something. And it's downloading files like 60 odd gig, which would eat through my data. So very annoying, but I decided at that point I couldn't really trust the photos. So Google's where I'm heading with that, I believe. I just haven't done it all yet. But the photos that I have up there, we have a lot of shared albums, and I did sling quite a few photos up there. It does really well. It is, and it's probably the best thing Google have ever done, Google Photos. Were you playing it at 1.5? No, never play a Mac Bytes backwards. It's got satanic messages. we did that once, didn't we? Do you remember that app that came out and promised to play podcasts at multiple speeds? And we said what we'll do is we'll talk really fast. So if somebody's playing it at multiple speeds, like 2 speed, you'll never be able to understand a thing. And then, of course, this Syrian lady, Siri, don't listen to a Mac Bytes at 2 times. No, you'll go deaf. It won't end well. Let's put it like that. It won't end well. Oh, my word. Yes, those early shows. I think the first 3, I sorted the sound levels out retrospectively, obviously. But from episode 4 onwards, I need to do that. So we will get round to that. But, you know, we've got to think of priorities. And if I said to Jonathan, I need to level eight episode 4 to about episode 80 and prioritise that over 127, Jonathan would have a fit. So we can't do that to Jonathan. 127 has to come first, and then we'll increase the sound levels on some. Then 128, then we'll increase the sound levels on a couple. See how we do it? We're very mindful of Jonathan's mental health. Oh dear, oh dear. Yes, we would. Jonathan, no, we wouldn't. We wouldn't, honestly. Oh dear, dear, dear. So yeah, I'm going to put mine on Google Photos. It's just a matter of when. I mean, technically speaking, I could just upload the lot and let it sort it out. but I tend not to do that. I tend to want to put them up by albums. But you don't actually need to, do you? You have to trust the system. I remember mentioning that once with music, I think, on a one-to-one session. And the guy was like, no, you can just delete them. And then when you put them back, it just automatically organises them. And I'm like, horrified. No, I've got to organise them. So when I installed iTunes for the first time, and it said, like, do you want me to import all of this and do magic with it? I'm like, no, step back from the files. Leave them where they are. My rationale was I had them ultra organised to start with because I used to use Winamp. Remember Winamp?
I remember Winamp.
Isn't that coming back? I remember that looking at Winamp.
Did it disappear?
It did. Yeah, it went away. Because it wasn't paid for, was it? Wasn't it?
I thought it was paid for.
It might have been.
No, I'm thinking of Gold Wave. Forget it.
Oh, remember that.
Gold Wave.
The Llama.
Yeah.
It says, our teams are currently working hard on Winamp with the intention to make it a player of today while preserving what made it so special. In other words, a complete listening experience. Therefore, we can say no llamas will be hurt in the process. Blah, blah, blah. Do you want the latest information? Put your thing in here. But I'm sure it's been saying that for the best part of many, many years.
Yeah, because it says here from 2018, Winamp returned in 2019.
Mm. Jonathan's hyperventilating at the thought of us triaging old episodes. Jonathan, you know we wouldn't do that. Struggle to get a new one out, much less triage the old ones. Apparently here it says you can download Winamp 5. Is that the Mac version? Is there a Mac version? No, it's an .exe file, so it doesn't look like it. But it was a good thing. But it didn't have a library feature per se where it imported them into, unlike iTunes. So because I wanted to still use Winamp, I told iTunes to just reference the audio files, not import them. Eventually, I gave way to that and just imported the lot. And I still have the same iTunes library file that I had way back in the day, even though that was on Windows. And what I used to do with my iTunes library file, it stored within it the location of the files. And obviously on Windows, that would have been like, I think it was the M drive for music and media. So when I wanted to move to a Mac, the file path to all of these files would have been wrong. So I put the files where they needed to be in the iTunes library, etc. But I moved it onto an external drive on the Mac. Then I moved the library files, which were basically XML files, which said where the files were. And I grepped through it with BB Edit, and I manually, well, not manually, I did it with a grep search and replace. And I updated all of the file paths to match the Mac schema. And everything just worked. Now you're wondering, you know, just why do that? Because you could have taken the files and dragged and dropped them onto iTunes and it would have regenerated the library. And it would, but you would have lost your play count and stuff. So because of that, I learned early on that I wanted to keep the play count. I mean, I guess you could go in and cheat and put the play count in later, but you'd have to manually go through the file.
How important's a play count to you?
Not that important. I think it was just the principle of the matter that I felt, why didn't Apple provide the ability to say, I've moved the library, now it's here? That is so simple, isn't it? All they would need to do, instead of storing in your library file, your XML file, a hard path to an audio file, they could have variabilized that,
yeah.
And they chose not to,
mm.
Which annoyed me. So I wanted to see if I could do it, and I told myself the play count was absolutely critical. That was why I was doing it. Oh, trust you to be pragmatic.
Don't Morning, be, Paul.
Don't be pragmatic, man.
I'm being practical, not
never
pragmatic.
Ends well. Hello, Paul. You like the rustic sound. Oh, it was rustic, all right.
Rusty.
The thing was, back then, we did have great microphones, didn't we? It was just, you would see.
Was it the blue?
It was the blue snowball. Yeah. We did that. That was expensive though, at the time. It's about £160, that microphone. And it was a really good microphone. The problem with it was it like came on a piddly little stand, didn't it? And everyone was telling you different things to get the best quality out of it. And it took a while to get the best quality out of it. But as you can tell now, everything's fine. Everything's fine now. But the other thing was, there was no way in GarageBand to level the audio up. A podcast should be minus 16 lufs, which it isn't a case of like turning it up to 10. You actually need it to reference a luff and it be 16, minus 16 of them. And Hindenburg has that, but GarageBand didn't. And the problem with GarageBand was if you upped the volume to get it to a reasonable level, you were actually upping the noise as well. Whereas something like Hindenburg, it will get it to minus 16 lufs, but at the same time, it will keep the noise level down. So Hindenburg's the way to go, basically. I did.
Johnny wants to know what a luff is.
What a luff. It's just a measure of audio. So in Hindenburg, let's put that in and see if it actually explains it. Oh, no, hang on, that's the actual word. And that page is blank, which is fabulous. Let's try that instead. Even that doesn't explain it. Wow. Okay, then. DB is out of fashion now. When you're creating audio to give to somebody else, they will give you a criteria that it has to match, basically. So let me go into Hindenburg and see what the alternatives are. That's a much better idea, isn't it? Right, so when you hit export in Hindenburg... Oh, it can't do any of that. Bless its little cotton socks. Right, it can't do any of that because there's no audio on the track to export. But I am recording audio on the track right now, so now it can.
It stands for loudness unit full scale.
Right, okay then. But what's happened is there was a movement globally to create an independent standard, and it was decided on minus 16, and it's LUFS lufs. And then what happened was the BBC came along and said, no, we want minus 18, and somebody else said we want minus 14, and in the end there are five standards. There's minus 14, minus 16, minus 18, minus 23 and minus 24, and depending on where your files are going, you would need to choose the correct one. So I think the BBC is either... Find out, Mike. It's either submission guidelines it'll be under. It's either minus 14 or minus 16, minus 18. But podcasting, the international global standard, is minus 16. So that's what we normalise to. But Hindenburg is aware, because it's made for voice, that it needs to level up the voice but level down any what it considers to be background noise. Which means we have standard audio.
Minus 23.
Is it? Wow.
Yeah.
So that's an option in Hindenburg. So if we were producing MacBytes for the BBC, and why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they give us thousands and thousands of pounds for an episode of MacBytes, Mike? But if we were, we'd have a minus 16 version that went out in the feed, because that's the podcast standard, and a minus 23 version that would then go off to the BBC.
Hang on, there's different values...
I know, that's what I've just said.
For different radio stations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So is the BBC globally 23? Is that drama is 23?
No, Radio 1 is minus 17.
There's one that's not in Hindenburg.
And DAB is minus 14 for Radio 1.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Is there anything voice work on Radio 2?
Radio 2, this is preprocessor, minus 19.
Why do they have to have standards that aren't in Hindenburg? You got minus 14, 16, 18,
Radio 3 is minus 27.
We don't go that high either. They're insane. The common standards are in Hindenburg, but the international podcast standard's minus 16, so that's what it is. So it's basically, it will normalise it to minus 16. And that's what we do, and we've been doing that all the while I've been using Hindenburg. Before that, I used Adobe Audition, and Adobe Audition, it didn't do it on the way out. This is why the whole production took longer. You had to do it yourself on the way in, which really was a major pain. I found myself doing it multiple times to make sure that everything was the same level. So I would bring in Mike's audio, I would bring in my audio, and then all the other bits and pieces and the Siri stuff. And then I'd have to run this against a minus 16 for all of them. YouTube, on the other hand, theirs is minus 14. But I leave it at minus 16. But if you listen to YouTube videos, you'll probably notice they're very different. The levels just shoot up and down, depending. And a lot of people don't have the ability to level to a certain lof. Why are they all minus, though? I've never understood that. Minus means below. As Simon says, listen to what Simon says. I'll bet this is... Oh, hang on, let me go up a bit. You need to record the same level of loudness. You do, Paul, but some things you have no control over, and you do have to adjust them. What happens in Hindenburg is, if I take something into Hindenburg, it will either up it or down it on the way in, and then on the way out it will make it minus 16, and it all just works. But when it comes to recording, there's other things going on in the recording that you need to try and lose. So if you've got a fan on in the background or something, I've actually got processing going on live. So there's processing on this microphone right now, which is taking away some of the background noise. There's processing going on mics as well. That's because we use Audio Hijack. So instead of our microphones being attached to the radio broadcast, it's a loopback pipe that's doing it. So we should sound exactly the same as we sound on the podcast. Same for YouTube. But we, at the YouTube end, we just try and get it the right level on the way in. But we're doing a minus 16, so it's the same as everybody else's. Otherwise, I mean, if everybody that's making a podcast makes it minus 16, then when you guys are listening and you move from one podcast to another, you're not deafened with one and literally cannot hear the other. But if you listen to our very, very early shows, they were far too low. But it was even more difficult back then because GarageBand had no concept of anything. You just recorded into it and you looked at the line and thought, is it too high or is it too low? And that was all you really had. So that's what we do, how we do it. Hindenburg does pretty much all of the work for the podcast on the way out. But for After Hours and Marooned, Audio Hijack does all of the work. You're going to stick with project management. Ooh, you did everything come? Did we get all the groceries? All groceries are disinfected. That's what we're like, Anthony. Yes, your computer looks amazing. Dual boots, Mac and Windows. Loving the case. The case does look fantastic, even with the reflection of the cables. You got everything. That's fantastic. We didn't. We had a couple of things missing last night. Oh, and I thought I could have sworn I had ordered 3 blocks of ice cream for Lola. They swore me blind I'd only ordered 1. So we have 1 block of ice cream for Lola. So I will now need to put... You'd better check that for tomorrow's order. Just a block of vanilla ice cream.
They haven't got any. I've already checked.
Crying out loud.
They don't sell it.
You know, when you look at what Tesco's don't sell and what they haven't got in stock, it's a wonder you can put an order together. But he has, and there's one there. Ooh, peanut M&Ms. A jar of them.
Oh, hang on.
What's he found?
They do, but...
But?
But it wasn't available to add to my basket.
Well, it is at the bottom. It says add. How much is it?
£1.
That's exactly the same price.
Right.
Well, so can we have the 3 of those that we ordered?
Yeah.
Stuff's going in and out of stock here. Wow.
It's going in and out of the basket as well.
That's the thing. If something's out of stock at Morrison's, they take it off the site. And you think to yourself, oh, I can't find that. Well, maybe it was called something different. But the trick is to go to your stuff you've previously bought.
It's currently unavailable.
Well, why has it got a price on and an ad to the basket button?
Because once I've logged in, it's...
Do you know, about bait and switch with Tesco. They do my head in. It's fine because it puts a couple of quid on the Morrison's thing and then we can put an order in. They'll be the death of me. Right, so Anthony says he's been
She won't go short.
No, she won't. She won't. But it's her birthday a week on Monday.
Yes.
We need things like numbers for cakes and stuff and candles. So Anthony says he's been using Adobe Audition for audio for the newsletter. Might try Hindenburg. Hindenburg is very unusual as an audio editor. I'd been waiting to try it because there was a 30-day trial and I was going to buy it during Black Friday and I was expecting it to be amazing. I'd watched the videos, it seemed absolutely fine. And I waited until 30 days before Black Friday to install it. And then when I installed it, I was so disappointed. I found it lacking features, which it's not, but they're not in the interface. So I have had a long chat with the developer and realigned his expectations. He said he does the kind of project management of it, the guy that I was talking to, and he instructs the developer what to develop. But the developer is one of these minimal guys and he doesn't want a lot of interface, which is fine. But it means that 99% of the features are hidden away under shortcut keys. The thing is, it's designed when you see the shortcut keys and you know what they do. It's designed for the spoken word, and oh boy, is it amazing with the spoken word. I'm in the process of two music specials for Brooklands, and I did the basic recordings that I needed, and then I've sliced and diced them, and I threw them all in the bin to the side of Hindenburg, which means although there's zero on the timeline, I can literally just drag, drop, drag, drop, drag, drop, and the piece will come together really quickly. And I've not found another audio editor that has that concept of a live bin. They have a bin where you can put individual files, but you would have to slice and dice these things elsewhere to create individual files. These things in Hindenburg are not individual files. They are not increasing the file size at all. They're basically like a text instruction to look at a certain file with an endpoint and an outpoint. So they're not even files. So the files are incredibly tiny. If you have a recording and you want to co-author with somebody, you can send them the original recording at the get-go. And then what you can do is send each other the file, in inverted commas, that you've been working on in Hindenburg. But that file is a text file. You never at any point send the audio. So what's fantastic when you're co-authoring with somebody is just stick it into Evernote and into Dropbox, and in the original audio file is never edited, which means I save and edit instantly. It literally takes 2 seconds. All of the edits that I've done, Mike could see them because he already had the original audio file. In that respect, it differs from anything and everything else I have ever seen. It's not cheap for the pro version. The pro version, the kind of things it gives you is if you've got a cold and you do your recording and it kind of sounds like you, but you're a bit bunged up, you can run against your recording today a profile you created, which was your perfect audio, and it will do its absolute best to turn coldy you into healthy you. And it does a really good job. They also have another application, and it does have Hindenburg in the name, but it's an audiobook editor. So if you're a professional audiobook narrator, this thing will create all the chapters that you need and all the rest of that. So it's a slightly different kind of application, but for something like making books for the blind, etc., it's the standard, I would expect. But as I say, it's quite expensive. They are very, very good with charities, though. So, an education. Let's have a look. Do they have a full price for that? I have no idea why you have just opened, but I do not need you to open. So go away. Come on. My browser's misbehaving today, Mike.
Oh.
And you, what isn't? Now what are you doing? If this was actually opening the right page, I'd be getting somewhere. Right, okay. We've opened a video. We don't want a video. What we want is prices. Is what we want. Products. There we go. There's Hindenburg Journalist, which is the non-pro version of what I've got. There's Hindenburg Journalist Pro, which is the one that I've got. And that's intended for radio and podcast production. There's Hindenburg Broadcaster, which is for radio stations. That's where basically you do the edit and then it automatically goes off to somewhere. Hindenburg ABC, Libraries for the Blind, creating audiobooks in DAISY. And then Hindenburg ABC Narrator, recording from your home to create, record, edit and export audiobooks. So there's a whole range of them. And there's a field recorder which runs on iOS, which I have used for recording. But I must admit, I've not transferred it back in a Hindenburg format. So it doesn't get a lot of use. If I took more time with it, then it would. So let's see.
Twisted Wave, I've got that one.
I've got Twisted Wave.
Yeah, it's on the iPad.
It's also on the desktop, isn't it? Where on earth
is it? It's not on my desktop.
Not much it is on your desktop.
There's loads on my desktop.
Is the buying at our shop? Didn't look under shop. Right. Journalist is £77. Journalist Pro is £299, which includes your 20% VAT. Now, does it say... Oh, and you can rent it as well. It's quaint, isn't it? You can do it if you've got a project and it's a 3-month project, then you can rent it for 3 months for £34, which is quite a cool way of doing it. Education, it says, so it's individual or organizations, students and teachers, and education. Let's have a look. Journalist Pro, there's $150 off. It doesn't mention anything about charities, though. Worth asking, though, because to me that should be lumped in with students and educators. Yeah, I've got Twisted Wave. The one I actually use for pre-edits is Amadeus Pro. Literally, I can't say I'm a huge fan of Amadeus Pro. I mean, it's fully functional and stuff. It's just got these... There's a blue line and a red line, and I've never quite worked out, you know, like I press play thinking it's going to move from the red point and it doesn't, it goes from the blue. But it takes a raw AIFF file, and I do a pre-edit on it, which means take out the mistakes, etc., and just save it. And then I take that into Hindenburg, and it does a great job with it. Did I get Twisted Wave from the App Store, or was it direct? Is it in the App Store? It is. Right, Twisted Wave. No, I did not buy it in the App Store. Ouch. £75. But yes, the look of it reminds me very much of Audacity. But I'm pretty sure I do have that. Now, maybe I only got the... No, I can't have done. I would only have had the iOS version. There we go. I did buy it. It was in a bundle. It was in a bundle in 2013. And it's version 1.11. What version's out now? That does not look like 1.11. I don't know. What's the latest version? Then I'll tell you if I've got it. I've got access to that. Yeah, I've got Fission as well. Fission's a bit quirky. I don't find it that exact. It's got a kind of Fisher-Price interface to my mind. What I did used to use it for every time there was a MacBytes, though, was to put in markers, because Adobe Audition, bizarrely, had no concept of markers. So, well, it did, but they didn't export as podcast markers. So you could export a file with them in, but it would be a full quality file. It wasn't the kind of file you would put up as a podcast. So that was a major pain. I used to take a screenshot and then use Fission to put in the markers. Hindenburg does the whole thing in one. Also does all of the artwork, etc. So it's way faster with Hindenburg. It's just made that way. But Fission is a nice editor in that it doesn't have to convert MP3 compressed files into anything before it can edit. It's the one that blows all the others away. Depends on what you want to do, but I'd have to agree with you, not really. I mean, GarageBand used to be pretty decent, and then they started making changes to it. They took away a lot of the stuff that podcasters found most useful with it, because again, when we were using GarageBand for the podcast, you could put the artwork straight in, you could put the markers straight in, you could put the links straight in. It was all done in GarageBand, and they ripped half of that out, and I will never understand why. For me, Hindenburg's the one that I would use, but I don't do a pre-edit in Hindenburg. There's no point, because it's a non-destructive editor, and I want to destruct the file. I want to take the mistakes out and totally get rid of them. What Hindenburg does, as I've said, is it looks at the underlying audio file, but the file it saves as the Hindenburg file is an NHSX. That file is tiny, because it's just text. It's just instructions to instruct Hindenburg what to show on the timeline. So it's incredibly tiny, which is great, because it means you can do three edits of something and you don't have three copies of the raw files. You have one copy of the raw file and then different versions of the Hindenburg file, all looking back to the original file. But because of that, that's the reason that I don't use it for a pre-edit, because I need to get rid of the mistakes and I need to top and tail in a pre-edit. So I want that file, I want the source file for Hindenburg to have the mistakes taken out of it before we go any further. Another case in point, when I'm producing the Marooned show as a podcast, the one on a Saturday night is massive, because we go straight out of Marooned into the audio, the music show for Brooklands. So when I press stop at like 1:15 in the morning, I have a series of files, the first one of which will have the whole of the Marooned episode in it, but it'll be about 2.5 gig, but there'll only be about 800 meg of it Marooned. The rest of it is the beginning of the Brooklands show. So I duplicate it and I actually destructively take off the beginning of the By Request show, because I don't want that to go through to Hindenburg and then it will sit there forever. Because even if I cut the end off in Hindenburg, it's non-destructive. It won't touch the underlying file. So I have to do that first, hence the pre-edit. But a pre-edit is not a precise edit. It's literally just topping it, tailing it, and taking out any, I will say, deliberate mistakes, but mistakes. I don't know about you, Mike, but you know when you're doing a tiny piece, you just, I'll just do a voiceover for this bit. It'll only take 2 minutes. I can never do the opening without saying, okay, take two.
I'll do that all the time.
The first one's never right. It is never, ever right. So when I'm topping and tailing a music show, I do an intro, an outro, and then there's the credits at the end. And I'll go in with, what's my welcome line? Or something like, hello and welcome to the XYZ music special. I'm Elaine Giles and blah, blah, blah. And without fail, make a mistake. But I don't stop the recorder and start again, because I'd probably, if I did that, then to me it would be the first take and I'd probably make a mess of that as well. So I just press record and just let it go. And then edit the pieces out. I don't use Fission for that, because Fission is better for MP3s, etc. I guess I could use Twisted Wave. Going to depend on what the latest version of Twisted Wave is, isn't it? I could use Audacity. I don't like the interface of Audacity, if I'm honest. But like you say, there isn't one. If I think about Amadeus Pro, the interface isn't fantastic. It's not. The interface on all of them, not fantastic. But Gold Wave, I have happy memories of on a PC. Must admit.
That's the one I was thinking of before.
Gold Wave. Loving it. I did not know there was a Twisted Wave version that ran in a browser. Did not know that. Right, let's have a look at this Mac version. Try it now. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's all very well. Try it now. What version are we on? Twisted Wave 1.23.1. Ooh, my serial number might work. Shall I try it?
Go on.
It's quite old, my serial number. Okay. I'm going for it. I am agreeing to terms as we speak. Let's see how bad it is. If this doesn't work, I am blaming you, Simon. Right, there's Twisted Wave. Right, it's in applications. It's going. That's the version you've got. If it's still version one, then I guess the serial should work. My ancient serial number. But at £75, no, didn't buy it from the App Store. No, this came in a bundle in August 2013. So let's have a look. Okay. Are you actually copying something, or are you just sitting there looking at me? What's going on here? Is it done or not? It's telling me it can't eject. Right, it's done. Right, let's see if it works. Twisted Wave. Yes, yes, yes. Just open. Go on. We want to see if this works. This copy of Twisted Wave is unregistered. Right, let me register. Let me sort that out for you. Right, here's the big moment. Will it take this serial number or not? Which is as old as the hills. Yes, it has. Ooh, new toy to play with. There you go. I will pre-edit my next pre-edit, which is probably going to be in the next 5 minutes. Need it for the show. I'll pre-edit it in Twisted Wave and see how we get on. See if I like it any more than I like Amadeus Pro. Can't say fairer than that. Excellent. Thank you for reminding me. Let's see if it's better than what I've got. You're a bad boy. Now you're tempting me away from things that I'm au fait with into new things. There is a thing on the homepage I've seen about batch processing. So it has a very powerful batch process. I'm looking at the script, pitch correction, normalisation. Quite a lot then. That would have really helped because although it can do it in batches in Adobe Audition, it's horrible. You need like 15 screens to open up everything and be able to see everything. Hello, Mrs. Simon. How are you? And how's Dusty? Oh, lovely Dusty. Love all your dog names. Zippy, Noodles and Dusty. They're all fantastic.
Johnny suggested Luff as a dog's name.
Oh,
when cool. We were talking about Luffs.
Luffs.
Lola Luffs.
Lola Luffs. She's already got about 27 names, hasn't she? When you go to a vet, the vet puts your surname on as well as the dog's name. So Maya was Maya Eric Giles Thomas, which wasn't bad, was it?
Oh.
But Lola's got about 47 surnames because her mum had two, her other mum had two, and we've got two. So she's got about 15 surnames.
I think luckily, she just answers to Lola.
She answers to Lola and give me food. Yeah. As long as you've got a toy or food, she's quite happy. They do know their names, though. I remember with Maya thinking, would he ever get it? And you should never use a dog's name when they're being naughty. You should, but not say, Lola, what are you doing? Because then they associate their name with negativity. This is what I found from a puppy book. That's what it said.
Simon's miffed with you.
Oh, wow. Didn't pay full price for Loot Buck. Didn't pay full price for Twisted Wave. No, I didn't. Got it in a bundle. I very seldom do actually pay full price for software. I usually find a workaround. I didn't actually expect to get Lootback for free.
And we don't mean...
What? Oh, no, no, we don't mean those kind of things. No, 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 no.
It's all legal and above board. Here at
Barney was called Cracker. That's a great name as well. That takes us right back to the items in your basket, does Cracker? I wonder if he was named after... Robbie Coltrane's character. That would be cool. And I never pay full price for anything, including Amazon. No, I don't. I don't. Ooh, whoops. Simon Mrs. Simon's found
Simon
out T's now.
Simon T is getting... Have we caused a domestic here?
No, no, no. We'll correct this right now. If you can get on the beta programme for anything from Rogue Amoeba, you don't get it for free. You get a beta discount. But if you report a problem... and work through it with them, then you get it for free. And that was how come I got Loot Back for free. The only one I paid for, and I didn't pay full price, because they swore me blind that I had something to upgrade from. I didn't think I had something to upgrade from, but apparently I did. And it was SoundSource. I paid the upgrade price on SoundSource. But it does take time. You might not like this bit, Mrs. Simon. It takes time to break the software and get it to them. But I have done, and I've still got an open issue with Farago that I need to deal with this weekend, so I've got that to do as well. But I am about to do an audio recording, so I will report back at 9 o'clock how the pre-edit went with Twisted Wave. But if you look around for deals, like there's a deal this week on, and I need to check if you get a voucher with it. It's you mentioned it last week, I think, the Parallels Bundle. The Parallels Bundle is back and it's $59, but Parallels itself is $79.99. So you're getting that and 9 other apps, one of which is PDF Expert, which is also $50. So there are lots of ways to get cheap software. So you mustn't get aggravated. Next time he tells me about new software program, my response is going to be, are you on the beta program? Think of it as Mrs. Simon incentivising you, Simon. I have an unboxing tonight if Mike can get it deloused fast enough. And I didn't pay full price for that either. Managed to get that at half price. It costs a lot to get things at half price, though, because you're tempted to buy double. Just saying. But we are going to head off because I need to do things.
To eat.
No, I haven't got time to eat. I need to get the show ready for 9 o'clock. Mike, of course, is like a gliding swan.
No, I'm not.
Just saying. No, there have been weeks you're not a gliding swan.
I'm not a gliding swan tonight.
We'll see about that.
Do shoe shops and hairdressers have beta programmes?
I'm trusting Simon with me. That's a rhetorical question.
No, he's talking to his missus.
My idea of shoe shops, told you this, went into a shoe shop about 15 years ago, found a pair of shoes I liked and bought 10 pairs of them. And that way I never had to set foot in another one for many, many years. And hairdressers, you're not going to get a hairdressing appointment this side Christmas. Just saying. But I do my own that as well. All the money and Simon, while you're at it, shoe shops, hairdressers, don't forget makeup. Heckishly expensive. Just saying. Don't tell Mrs. Simon I told you that, obviously. Just saying. But makeup can be, well, you know Bernie. Bernie thinks it's cheap if she spends £500 a month on makeup. It doesn't look any better for it. Just saying. I don't think I've ever spent £500 on makeup in all the years I've ever bought any. Just saying. But anyway, we're off. We will see you at 9 o'clock. But for now, it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
And we'll see you next time.